Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go.
Whoa, we are back. That's right. Episode 93 of Feeling Good with Duddy, the show that points at the world, has a laugh, and then points in the mirror and has a laugh. Fairest of the fair, bravest of them all, that's us. We've got an amazing show today, but I'll let this guy tell you about it. I'm Jake B., a barber here in Southern California. Let me tell you about my brother, the host of this show, guitar player, singer of the Dirty Heads. Here he is. You love him, Duddy B.
We're back. Been a while.
Yeah. What, 3 weeks, was it?
3 weeks.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, it feels good to be back. And did you say 93?
Episode 93, man, creeping on 100.
93, creeping up to 100. Haven't figured out what we're going to do for 100, but got to do something special.
This is every day when we come into the bunker. Luke goes, hey, you guys, episode 100 is going to be like Inica. We should really talk about that. And we go, yeah, we absolutely should talk about that. And then we go, later. And then we absolutely don't talk about it. What? Probably episode 98, we'll start feeling the heat.
Let's be honest, episode 100,
it's gonna be just like episode 99, isn't it?
Probably we won't even be able to find a guest. It'll be that.
Yeah, it's gonna, don't get excited is what we're saying. But Duddy, what do we have
today? This show's a great show. Not only do we have a great friend of mine, someone, you know, we've actually written songs with for the Dirty Heads. We've toured with, not only with his band, he plays with Iration, but, you know, he's come out with the Roman Duddy tour and done his solo acoustic as well. We've got a conspiracy query. The Stoner Idiots, I believe, are stopping in to interview Micah for a quick second. I'm not going to tell you what it means, but we got some PP baseball.
Oh, yeah, that's right. PP baseball. Yep. That's a new thing that's happening today.
Jake's actually going to tell us a little pee his pants story as well.
That's
right. And then we've got a bunch of fun Q&A questions that came from our Patreon members. And speaking of our Patreon members, Jake's going to tell you real quick how you can support the show.
That's right. Two ways you can support the show, guys. Share the show. Tell a friend about the show. Give us reviews on like Apple Podcasts. That's the main spot. Give us the review. 5 stars. Write something about us. Whatever you want. That helps. If you want to support the show and get extra episodes, you go to Patreon. It's $5 a month. Patreon.com/feelinggoodwithduddy. $5 a month. You get 4 extra episodes. You're going to get guitar tutorials from Duddy. And you get to ask us questions on the show. That's it. Other than that, you just listen and have fun. And thank you for being here. Duddy, why don't you just tell them who the guest is? Let's get into it. Let's fire off
all
the
right,
show.
So we've got a good friend of mine, Micah Brown. Not only is he in the band Iration, he's also written in the studio with the Dirty Heads. He did, I think, 4 songs at least with us on Cabin by the Sea album. He's come out and toured with the Roman Duddy Project. Let's bring him on, Micah Brown.
What up? Bam. What's up, Bushnell Brothers?
What is happening?
And I've toured with you as well.
Yeah.
HB Surround Sound did a tour, probably 2013 or something, with
Spot
Iration.
On. Yeah.
So, yeah. And you've been around forever, acoustically first, and now with Iration.
Yeah, thanks for making me feel old, but
no. Yeah. Well, join us.
It's crazy how, yeah, like a decade can just fly by, you know? And I mean, you guys have been doing music for longer than that. So, I mean, it just, you know, you put your head down and you wake up a few years later and you got this career behind you and still more ahead, hopefully. So
yeah, a lot more ahead. It's wild.
The longevity of careers in like this particular scene, like the reggae rock scene and stuff like that is awesome. Cause I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. If you're in like a punk band, it's really hard to keep playing punk when you're older. There's like Bad Religion, a couple people, but in like with reggae rock and stuff, I feel like, dude, in reggae, you don't care if the singer's 80, right? Yeah. You're like, yeah, I'm here to see Yellow Man or whoever. I don't care if they're 95 years old. So I feel like you guys can play forever. It's just, that's the style of music.
Here. It's very
you're
true.
You're not going anywhere,
it
guys.
Ages well for sure.
It totally
it does.
And most of it, at least.
Most yeah. of it, right. yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, honestly, it wasn't always like that. You know, I remember right when the Dirty Heads first started touring and we would get outside of anywhere that was near a coast and...
Yeah.
People were just like, what the fuck is this?
It's you know? Still a niche-y style, but it's just a huge ass it's niche. Grown. Over the last decade, I mean, it's quadrupled, probably more than that, really. It's just an actual huge scene in itself, but it's not going anywhere. It's only growing. And like I said, nobody cares how old you are, or how young you are in the scene. It's just, let's do it.
Yep.
That's a unique thing. You know, you can be a Willie Nelson in this scene.
Yeah, or like, you know,
just rip forever.
Toots, rest his soul. You know, he did it till he basically died. And he was in his late 70s, I believe. We played with him last year, I think, or the year before, our last summer tour, whenever that was. But he came out and we did the Red Rocks show with Toots. And just watching him like kill it at 77 years old and the place is going off. It's like, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's wild, man. And that's one thing I always... notice like with Yellow Man too, like he would get older and he looked like he's sick and he was old, but he'd be up there running around that stage like a madman doing like push-ups the whole time and just
even when his voice was all fucked up.
Like, dude, these guys are out here still just killing it.
And Luke told me about this earlier. Actually, Bunny Wailer, I guess, died today. 73.
What?
Bunny.
Today.
Today.
Wow. Yeah, it's a bummer.
Today's Tuesday. Yeah, this show will be out Wednesday. So yesterday, if you're listening.
Yeah, we're getting to that space where like the legends are, you know, they're not all going to live forever. So it's, it's a bummer, but.
Yep.
But crazy. So, like you were saying, your last summer tour, whenever was that?
2019, I guess. Yeah.
Jeez, craziness.
Well, weird story. The last tour that you did, I'm assuming you were actually on tour with Duddy and with the Rome and Duddy. I guess you guys weren't really Rome and Duddy yet. You were just on tour with Duddy and Rome doing
I think, you had just when kind COVID of hit. Branded it Rome and Duddy maybe, but it was like the first thing you were doing, right? Because you put out that first single, the cover.
Stone Me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was honestly, what's today, March 2nd? It was a year ago today that I joined up with you guys because our Iration tour ended March 1st and I flew into Billings
March 2nd.
Wow.
1 year from today,
we planned all this, by the way.
Wow. Guys. Yeah, wow.
So, and you were able to play a few shows. You guys had a nice little minute on the road.
We had a half dozen shows together. I felt like we were just getting to like a really cool spot, like where the shows were about, like, they were coming into form, like doing like me coming out with them. And, you know, it was like, we were hitting our stride and then it's like, head on home, boys.
Yeah. It was weird. Cause it was all happening around us, but you know, we've talked about it a little bit before on here, but you know, when you're on the road, sometimes in your bus and the all you're really seeing a lot of the times is like the bus, the back of the venue, maybe a hotel room.
Yeah.
And you get in your little bubble and you kind of lose a little bit of touch of reality of what's happening in the real world. So we were hearing about the coronavirus and stuff, but it wasn't like real. And then all of a sudden it got really real quick.
And I mean, if you think about it, it was honestly here before we all knew about it, right? It had to have been here for a while. And like, I had been living on a bus with 13 mangy dudes for like, 6 weeks. And I mean,
13 on the bus.
Well, no, it was two buses, but I mean, like you're still you're in close quarters with those guys for all day, like when you're sound checking and stuff. But so, yeah, I mean, it's a wonder, I guess maybe I got it and it came and went a long time ago. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. But so you guys did some drive-in shows.
We did some drive-in shows.
You actually put out some new music.
We had an album. Yeah, it was a big debate of like, do we put out this album that we're really proud of and that we can't tour on now? We had the Coast and Summer Tour, the West Coast and the East Coast, and it was all like laid out, like, you know. And then, you know, we just had to pivot and we just decided to put out the music anyways because, even like the song, the content of the lyrics, like, was so timely, and it was so kind of serendipitous in that way. Like, the music felt like it needed to come out anyways. So we were just like, let's put it out, and then next year we'll still be able to tour on it. And by then people will kind of have a little bit more like time with the music to, mm-hmm. you know, because you go out on a tour right after, like, drop an album and then you go on tour. It's like the new songs don't hit as hard, you know?
Nope. Totally.
People are there to hear their favorites. And it's hard to have a favorite in like a couple of weeks. Yeah. You need time with an album.
Totally.
It's funny. And usually with an album, the songs you love right away, you start liking some deep cuts better, and then totally agree. It's always weird with that.
And you can't expect that everyone in the crowd's even heard the new album.
Most of the time, they haven't.
They haven't. Maybe let's say you're super lucky and half of them have. You're like, you got half the people out there that are going, "What is this? I've never heard this before."
Yeah. Well, because if you think about going to concerts as a fan, like, you know, my wife's a big Kings of Leon fan, and so like I go with her, and I become a fan through her. But like, they'll put out a new album and we'll go to the show and we don't even know there's an album. It's like, and it's not because we're not paying attention. It's just like, you know, everybody's at a different level of fandom. You know?
Yeah.
And so even though if you're selling a bunch of tickets, not everybody there is like a super fan that is all plugged into your music. You know,
you explaining that to me once. I was like, man, I was saying something how like it seemed like everyone here like knew your band, and you're like, somehow you were breaking it down to me. I'm looking at Duddy for all the listeners right now. One time we were talking about the crowd and you were like, no, you have to understand, like, a lot of these people don't even know who we are. And I'm like, no way. And you're like, yeah, like someone's girlfriend likes the band and just brought this dude, or brought, you know, their friend that's never heard of the Dirty Heads. And I was saying something about the crowd, like how I could, you know, and you were saying, yeah, man, like a lot of these people may have never heard of us before. And it kind of blew my mind. I don't know. When I look at a huge crowd and I think that most of them are singing the words, I just assume everyone knows the band and knows every song.
Yeah. Well, and especially when you're out there like playing the festivals and stuff, you know, you'll have these huge
big
crowds
time.
And you're like, well, maybe 10 to 15% of them out there are there to see us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's cool, because that's how you make new fans.
And you have
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to just play to the same people over and over again your whole career. You want to grow that audience. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
So here's the deal with you. When I first remember you, and this is, you were playing acoustically, I think always by yourself. I would see you. I think I saw you at the Galaxy Theater before it's, what is it called now?
Observatory.
The Observatory. Yeah. It was the Galaxy. I feel like I saw you there acoustically. So what happened with the transition? You were an acoustic guy, and then how'd you get into Iration? What was that?
So like? For me, like having 17th Street, which is where I met you, was like really a big springboard for me as a young artist, because I was an unknown. I was doing residencies in Laguna Beach, like three hours a night playing covers in my own songs. And like, I always was of the mindset, I want to be a songwriter. I don't want to just play covers and play other people's music. And you do that at the beginning, obviously, to learn songs, get your chops up, have enough to play a set, you know, things like that. But I met Onik Dang. He's like Lewis's partner over 17th.
17th Street Studio. 17th yeah, everyone Street Studio. What year is this about? Just to set the table. This is probably 10 years ago, you're thinking, or more.
Probably like 12 years ago.
12 years ago.
Is this when we were recording Cabin by the Sea?
I think you guys were not recording it yet, but you had already done Any Port in a Storm there.
Okay, and so in between those.
Yeah, and so...
So you're like hanging out at the studio with Louie, and maybe sometimes some bands come through and you get to play on their projects.
Like, I was
and
like
stuff.
The resident studio rat, dude. Like,
nice.
Kind of what Rome was when he first started too.
Yeah,
you know, like
exactly.
Rome was always there, lived there for a while. Like, and I always heard about Rome, like, you know, just because he had just kind of moved on, and like, but his presence was still his effect on the place was still there a little bit. And, and so I just felt like that was like my role now. Like, you know, that guy that's always hanging around that, was like ready to go jump in a session if need be. And so I worked, me and Lou did two albums together of my own music. And I think we had done my first one by then. So I first came in, Onik was like, he discovered me at Blue Laguna in Laguna Beach playing a set. And he's like, you should meet my homie Louie. He can record you, he's dope. Yada, yada. Like, fast forward a year or so, I put out an EP. I have my own band kind of forming, because I had been using people in the studio, and then like we'd play shows. You know, Lou started playing bass for me live, and my buddy Kevin Officer was my drummer, who I met through Cat, who was recording there at the time. And then he started playing with Stick Figure, you know, so it was just kind of this melting pot of people coming through and finding their way and like realizing what they want to do and doing it. And that was kind of what I did. And then, so once you guys came back in to start on Cabin by the Sea, I was kind of Lou's right hand man for like certain things, you know? And so little spots that I could fill in the void of that, like harmonies and things like that, guitar riffs, like just ideas, like something would pop and I would just kind of shout it out. And if someone liked it, they'd try it, which was fun. And it was like this cool kind of, encouraging environment of like anything goes as long as it's cool, like we'll try it out, you know?
No, 100%. And I mean, that's how the Dirty Heads have always been. You know, me and Jared a lot with writing. It's like, if someone in the room has a great idea and it's not one of us, there's no ego. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's dope. Let's use that, you know, for sure. So,
yeah, I remember Cabin by the Sea actually, the song was almost done, I think. And I remember, I think Cheese was saying that he felt like it could have like a post chorus or something. It was like before there was a post chorus. And so I was in there, and then I think we were just kind of all, you know, like round tabling ideas. And like, I think, you know, that half of that post chorus was like something that like I kind of just threw out there, and just, and then it's, so it's cool that, you know, you guys were open to just trying it. And if it worked, it was like, yeah, like you said, no ego. Like, this is dope. Let's move on. Let's get it and put it in there. And
there was lots of cool ones. You also came up with the super, I always loved that vibey, like there's a little guitar solo in Burned by Myself.
Oh, the bridge, yeah.
The bridge.
Yeah, it's kind of like a musical finger picky. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was one of those. You threw that out. I think you had the acoustic guitar in your hand, and we were all sitting in the room messing with that bridge part, and you like started playing that. We were like, yep, get in the
booth. It was just kind of a finger picky vibe, and so I threw that down acoustically, and then as I was thinking, I was like, it'd be cool to throw an electric lead on top of that too, and just make it this kind of folky kind of piece, which is, yeah, it fit the song.
Super fun. And also a lot of backups in Day by Day. Lots of cool harmonies and backups in there. So.
So studio guy, really.
That was kind of my
at 17th right now.
That was my start. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's funny though, even like being able to play kind of some shows with you guys outside of the studio, you know, like doing, I think we did Weenie Roast, Smoke Out.
That's
we did some pretty dope festivals where I got to come out as like a guest, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was my first taste of like big crowds and that kind of shit too.
Yes, that's right, man. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, I remember we did Weenie Roast at Irvine Meadows, Verizon Wireless. And I got a haircut from this chick in like the artist lounge thing. Like K-Rock had a pretty sick like artist suite that year, like the gifting lounge kind of thing. They had like barbers and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I was there that year. That was the first time you ever played, right? That was for Lamey. Would it have been the first time you played Weenie Roast?
That was the first time we played Weenie Roast.
Yes, dude. Yes. Like I met Dr. Drew there. I got a picture with him.
And I remember the fucking
Stone Temple Pilots played. Remember Scott Weiland? I remember watching him kind of stagger out of their backstage thing,
man,
and he passed away not long after that was a crazy year.
It was
I remember this now. I think you just jogged a memory.
Totally.
Yeah, my parents were there for sure.
Who was the headliner? It was a big act. It was a great fun show.
It's killing me.
No, it wasn't.
I don't think it was
Coldplay. It was
and their show was fucking sick.
It was like, but I remember they were getting interviewed by, was it Kat from K-Rock was doing the interviews there, or maybe Nicole, I don't remember.
Maybe both. I don't know.
I don't know, but they were doing they were interviewing the bands, and I remember Coldplay was up there getting interviewed, and it was right behind our dressing room, like trailer area where they were doing the interviews, and they were live, and we were smoking a lot of weed and it was just blowing all onto them, and they kept making comments, and they were just like, geez,
the Dirty Heads are back there getting fired up. Well, and you guys had covered Viva La Vida or whatever. Was that before that? I think it was all at the same time.
It was probably
sort of
just all around the same time, but I think it was one of those things where we probably played a little earlier in the day. So we were done, you know, so we were already kind of,
I was kind of homies with Beer Mug at the time too, because through the OC Music Awards and things like that, K-Rock covered. And so I was kind of running around. I think I watched Coldplay with Beer Mug and Nicole.
Yeah.
And I remember going back through the entrance to backstage, and we're like showing our badge and everything. We walk, and then like Nicole sees like $400 or $500 on the ground. Like someone probably pulled out their badge and like their wand fell out. And so we literally spent a minute. We were, everybody we could find in the area, we were like, did you lose some money? You know? And then we looked at each other. I was like, what do we do? And so she's like, well,
split it
and then pay it forward, you know? And so we both like made a pledge to each other. Like, we're going to pay this forward. Like help somebody, bless somebody else.
We have to go buy everyone drinks at the whole festival right now. That is a rough one. Hey, you ask as many people in the, dude, $400 or $500.
Yeah, we didn't want to just, you know.
That's a find.
Yeah.
Nicole.
Yeah, she's a good person. She's dope.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. No, that's crazy. That is like a time that I kind of forgot, but you just jogged that totally free. Yeah. I remember standing back there with those K-Rock people because this was all new for us.
Yeah.
Dirty Heads finally had the banger of a song, and obviously you're new and you're on stage with them, and we're standing next to all the people that we'd listened to in radio since we'd grown up.
Yeah, I think
it was like, what the fuck is going on, man? It was a crazy
spinning
time.
Stage, like you finish your last song and like Angels and Airwaves is spinning on out. Tom DeLonge's like about to rip a guitar. I'm just like, I've been listening to Blink since I was like 12 years old. That's awesome.
And I remember too, that may have been the first time, that was probably definitely the first time I performed on a spinning stage.
Oh yeah.
And Irvine Meadows was where we grew up seeing all of the biggest shows and the biggest bands, you know? So I remember that one MC turning Hammer for there, that first famously. Time. I mean, Petty. It doesn't get bigger than MC Hammer.
No, it really doesn't.
We saw him.
MC Hammer, Jodeci, Boyz II Men, and TLC all on one night, and we were there.
Let's not brag, you know.
Let's stop bragging, but we were like 10 and an 8-year-old little white kids just loving life in a sea of hot sisters.
But that stage turning, though, I'll never forget that feeling. That was like that first, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Yep.
Look at where we're at.
That was a cool year, too, because there was a lot of, it was like, Offspring and like Pennywise and a bunch of dope punk bands that I loved.
Deftones.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I feel like Hole played that. Courtney Love. I've gone to two Weenie Roasts, I think, with the Dirty Head. So that could have been the other one.
Was she like the special guest? They always have like a special unannounced guest.
One of the special guests, and I don't know if it was this night, was Dave Grohl, and he was by himself with an acoustic. Was that a Dirty Heads Weenie Roast or not?
I don't remember. I remember that.
Well, then the other Weenie Roast I went to was not a Dirty Head Weenie Roast.
Okay.
Yep. Anyway, I'm going to get them all mixed up now. But,
so,
oh, do you have another memory from the Weenie Roast? This is probably Weenie Roast 2010 or 11. Which one do you think?
One of those. You got it right here?
What year is it? 2010. Death K-Rock Jones, Weenie Roast.
STT.
Yeah, read off that list, Micah.
We got Sublime with Rome and Stone Temple Pilots headliners. We got Deftones, Hole.
There it is, Hole.
Devo, Paramore, Silver Sun Pickups.
I really liked them that night.
I think Silver Sun played the same year the next time when I played too. Spoon, which I love them. Cage the Elephant.
Those guys are
Chevelle,
awesome. Holy Tempered shit. Trap.
Yeah, I'm like, I haven't even thought of some of these bands since then.
Chevelle.
Dirty Heads.
Thanks, Luke.
Passion Chevelle. Pit and Against Me. That's a well-rounded lineup.
Yeah.
Look at that. Oh yeah, Against Me.
So yeah, so that's 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
That is a lazy poster by today's standards. I mean, Luke, grab that poster and put it on the YouTube video because that deserves just absolute tarnishment. That's like we'd pass on that. If they're like, yeah, we were like, yeah, maybe we should just go with a different company.
11 years ago, it was a lot different.
Yeah, that must have been just a banger. That's like, shit, did they figure out the lineup 30 seconds before they went to print?
Oh, no.
Either way, banger.
We'll move on from the Weenie Roast 2010, but I do want to tell one quick story from it I'll never forget, because that was right, like you said, right when we were just starting to like kind of build some steam.
Yeah.
That was our biggest show probably to date for sure. And we're backstage at the, you know, Irvine Meadows. There's all these huge bands like you just heard that are there that at that age. And at that point in our career, we're just like, holy crap, I can't believe we're here.
And Lay Me Down is like the number one single at this time. It was the song of the summer. It's totally number one. So you guys are the young guys popping off.
And we're in our trailer and, you know, management comes and Braden, you guys both know Braden.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say his name, whatever. We love Braden, but we always made fun of him for this anyway. He came and he was backstage and he worked with management and he came in our trailer and he was all fired up at the end of the night, drunk, probably a little something else as well. And he was just all wired and fired up. And we don't know why to this day, I don't know why he did it, but we're coming out of the trailer and he jumps out of the trailer we had like a rubber trash can outside of our trailer and it was filled with trash, disgusting trash from all day and night long. And he jumps into it and it like breaks. He falls, eats absolute shit. Like the trash can, it like eats breaks.
Absolute shit.
He's just laying there now in a pile of like half drank beer, spilt trash,
and bananas, food, and shit. And
like, you know, catering that's been thrown. That
half just, pizza slices.
One of those things. I mean, the guy, and I'm talking, the guy was 30 something at the time, you know, like not like a little kid. And it was just like one of those moments where you're like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Like,
now you're backstage at the Weenie Roast. Everybody's
looking at us because it was like the loudest thing in the world. It's just trash everywhere. Someone from our management's rolling around in it. You know, we're just like praying.
Like, fuck? Imagine the worst case scenario and then it's worse than that.
Yeah. He thought, he's like, he was so fired up. He's all, the guys are going to love this.
Rockstar, dude. Epic, I'm going to jump into the trash can. Why?
What a terrible choice, dude. To be fair, you guys were insane. You guys would like pee into the air and shit on each other back in the day. So he probably thought, this is going to go over swimmingly.
It's 100% right. And it's one of those things too, where like he was married with kids at the time. So yeah. It was probably one of those, like, he's out of the house.
Yeah.
Shit's like, our song's number one. Yep. He's just like, he's just, I'm in party loose. Mode. I think there might've been a couple of those.
Dude, he might have had the sniffles that evening. I'm just picturing Brayden. That's why I'm laughing so hard. He's the exact guy that would do that and fall, and you'd be like, why on earth? Oh, classic shit. The Weenie Roast. And then Luke pulled up a second one here. K-Rock Weenie Roast, Ifia. So what year was this? 2012.
Yeah, this is the one that I was at.
Okay, this is the one you were at, Micah.
Yeah. Coldplay, Incubus, Offspring, Silver Sun, Pennywise, Angels and Airwaves, Dirty Heads, Garbage, AWOL Nation, Group Love, Monsters and Men, Walk the Moon.
Wow. Look at that. 2012, Monsters and Men. So that's like right when the whole thing started with the claps and the acoustics. And
yeah,
totally. You know, going to family. Hey, everyone was just, hey.
Yeah.
Like seven different bands
you
had
can,
the hey.
Even and the 2 years difference, you can see kind of like what's hot like between these lineups.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Because if we fast forwarded to 2015, it would be all Monsters of Men and Mumford and Sons. And it was probably called The Campfire.
It was cool, though, because, like I was saying, Pennywise was, I was a big fan of them as a kid. And I went to like this after party thing at the hotel in the lobby, and I'm in the bathroom taking a leak, and this large man just comes up next to me and starts peeing in the stall next to me. And then I just kind of glance over and up, and it's Fletcher from Pennywise.
Oh,
and,
yeah, he's a large
and
guy.
And he's holding a bottle of vodka, and he just hands it to me, and he's like, how you doing? How's your night going? And I'm like, holy shit. And I just take a sip of his vodka and give him the bottle back. And
yeah.
It was
if Fletcher hands you a bottle of vodka while you're peeing, you take it and drink it.
Lesson you've taken from this. So
I have a peeing next to someone's story, and it also involves the Dirty Heads. This was when like HB surround sound was playing with the Dirty Heads, or just for you guys. You had like the record labels all wanted to sign you guys. This is 2010. And so you had several LA shows to play, and this was the Viper Room. You guys played the Viper Room, and surround sound was the band for you guys.
I remember that.
And I'm peeing and in the bathroom, and Keanu Reeves pulls up and pees next to me in the stall because his band, I think it was called Dog Star, opened up.
Please
or something.
Tell me he handed you a bottle of vodka.
No, he didn't look at me. I didn't. It was just Keanu Reeves, dude. And he walked up right next to me and is peeing. So that's awesome. You peed next to Fletcher.
Did you take a little glance down?
I didn't, dude. Oh, keep it forward, bro. But I, you know, of course he wanted to. I don't know. This was pre-John Wick, but there he is, dude. Keanu Reeves, Dog Star, Fletcher. And then when on that Iration tour, was that the tour Pennywise was on that we were on with you guys?
No, it was Descendants.
Descendants.
And Sublime, yeah.
And Sublime, okay, cool. I got to tour with Pennywise on one of the tours that I did.
Speaking of other men's body parts out, Red Rocks with the Descendants and you guys, Milo was using our green room shower, and like, cause I don't know, like, I think there's not enough showers in every green room or something. So I just walk into my green room bathroom, and Milo's just naked in front of the mirror, like drying off. I'm like,
sorry. That was a crazy tour. It was like, cause it was our band. We were the opener. We were the smallest band for sure. But we had us, and Iration was on the tour. And then the Descendants, which was amazing. They were on like 8 shows, I think.
Yeah. I think it was only a few handful.
And then
shows.
I think it was like one of the Marley Children, you know, was on like a few of them and stuff. That was an awesome time. Yeah. Someone just walked into the studio. Hello. Into the bunker. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. Good times, reminiscing. So backstage at Red Rocks, you walked in on Milo and you took a look.
I mean,
you took a
he
peek.
Was facing away, but so I just saw his back.
It was a forced look.
Yeah.
But
I was like,
Milo from the Descendants.
You could not take a look, you know.
It was funny when the Descendants would play, everyone would just gather around backstage and just sit quietly. Just it was just everyone would fanboy or girl out on that.
Mm-hmm.
Legends.
All right, y'all.
Well, as we're talking about famous people's pee and whatnot, one of the first tours we did, a good friend of ours, this reminded me of because Brad walked in and it looks like it's I'm going to be doing that golf tournament, by the way, Brad. And it's with Stan Fraser, the drummer from Sugar Ray. He also helped, with the writing and recording of our first couple albums. We did a quick little run with Sugar Ray. One of the nights we were all partying, Mark McGrath partying with us. You know, we're all wild at this point. It was one of these shows where the backstage, there's only one bathroom in between the two dressing rooms. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and there was like one urinal and then there was one like stall and Mark's in there peeing. We're joking. He like pees all over the place for a little bit, right? No big deal. This is where we're at in the night. It's late, right?
Yeah.
And then, 20 minutes later, some people come in, you know, more people from the band and more people from the crew. And I'm not going to mention a name of who it is, but one of the people that comes in has met a lady of the evening out on the street. And, He's unaware of what has just happened in the bathroom. And the next thing we know, we go in there and he's on the floor.
No.
On the floor in the stall, just going to town, you know, and that's our joke with him forever. We're like, dude, we saw you having sex in Mark McGrath's piss puddle. We saw that, dude.
We saw that. That's what you are now.
Dude, Mark McGrath's piss puddle sounds like a heavy metal, like grunge band name.
Totally.
A super like ironic band. Yeah. It would have a real tight little core fan base.
We actually had
a lot
of fun on that little run. It was only like 6 or 7 shows or something, but we actually had a really good time. And
my
we
God,
have that
dude.
Story from it.
Memory lane. I didn't know that one. Yeah. That's a nasty one.
That's a funny
I'm gonna
one.
I'm going to ask you later who did that.
But now, I mean, should we just get into it now, though, Jake?
It's time to get into it. Look, we've gone down memory lane, and it was a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
But now it's time to get serious. That was the warm-up.
All right. I'm
show
ready.
Showtime. Okay? This is your favorite part of the show. I will let Duddy explain to you guys what this is.
This is a conspiracy query, Micah.
Okay.
It's not a conspiracy theory.
No.
It's a query.
I didn't
You're used
come
to
up
theories.
With this.
You're People used go, to theories. Bro, this is this. This isn't that.
Who's the conspiracy theory guy, Jake?
He's the worst guy at the party. He corners you. He tells you that under the pyramids is pure plutonium or so, or plutranium. And you're like, what is that? And then all the pyramids like equal, you know, they're all pointing north. So obviously, you know, he's the guy. And then you're going, you're backing away slowly. And oh, I got to get another, but he's following you as you're backing. And then you're opening. He's that guy. This isn't that guy. He just goes, dude, tell him what you kind of just pose like a nice question.
Yeah, I'm not and then, saying I believe in this. I'm not trying to convince you it's real. I'm just simply asking if you believe in conspiracy queries.
Okay.
All right, this one's fun. So you guys know we're taking you around the world.
Yeah, we've been traveling all around the globe for Micah, just letting Micah know that. And we've been finding our favorite conspiracy queries or really just monster stories.
They're really just like ghostly monster stories, but we call them conspiracy queries.
It's a loose segment.
And this one is from our nation's capital, South Dakota.
Oh,
and
gosh.
It's called Walking.
Earth, our nation.
It's called Walking Sam. And why is it creepy, Jake?
I mean, that sounds pretty. Like
it says,
Walking Sam.
Well, wait till you hear this one. Wait till you hear this one. A wave of suicides. 103 attempts as of December 2014 on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota is being attributed to the presence of the Walking Sam figure. Teenagers claim a slender shadow-like spirited dubbed Walking Sam appears before them and commands them to kill themselves. Sound familiar?
Sounds like you, Daddy. On some what? Previous episodes of the anyway, keep reading. Daddy's absolutely
what
told people to kill themselves on our shows before. Yes. Yeah, he took it back and he said he was sorry. But keep reading, Walking Duddy.
The first wave occurred in 2013 when 5 members of the Ogallala Sioux tribe.
Okay, that'll get us canceled
Sioux.
For sure.
Sioux, that's right, Sioux. Agalala, right? Is that Agalala?
Probably Aglala, but
yeah. Aglala?
Aglala,
Aglala Sioux. Aglala Sioux tribe killed themselves and continued to spiral until Aglala Sioux. I'm saying that wrong for sure.
You're doing
sorry
your best,
if I am.
The
tribe's
that.
Vice president, Tom Poorbear, discovered photos on Facebook in 2015 depicting nooses hanging from trees, revealing plans behind a teenage group suicide.
Oh, all right. That one.
Whoa.
It was a rough get through, but
I probably could have read that.
Anyway, we could. Let's paraphrase that. So 103 attempts, and it looks like from what they. I can gather that how many of them actually succeeded there?
It looked like there was five like kids.
Yikes.
Yeah. In 2013, when five members of the tribe killed themselves and it continued to spiral. Cause it says there was 103 attempts as of December, 2014, but only five of them actually did it.
Yeah. And that was in 2013. So the numbers are fishy but it's absolutely look,
so he's commanding them to kill themselves, but he's
sounds
not
kinda like
very
Slender Man. Like, have you guys seen that documentary?
Yes,
like,
it sounds a lot
kind of
like
a similar
Slender Man
type deal. Which, you know, I tend to think that these things are rooted in some sort of truth. You know, like
103 attempts is a lot.
Ones that are kind of consistent in different areas. Like, I feel like that shit happens. Like, I had a friend, especially with like burial grounds and like native lands and sacred places like that with the Native Americans. I know that my friend Jordan from Hawaii was talking about times he's been on sacred burial ground for like Hawaiian ancestry and like gets some really sketchy feelings or like weird things happen with wildlife and shit like that. So yeah. I do think that there's some truth to that. I mean,
I have a friend that is not a liar at all. I would trust anything he said. And he's told me stories of that exact same thing. Like his girlfriend has family, or his wife, I should say, has family that as Native American. So he's stayed like a Native American land with them.
Yeah.
And he's seen things and he's like, and he's not a guy that I would ever think would ever make this up. So, hey man, you know, I've had more than a few people that I trust tell me that they've seen ghosts even. And so I'm starting to come around on this. Yeah. Like I am on this show. I've always been this is all BS.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to open up in my old age to these types of things. And maybe it's the conspiracy query segment, Daddy, and you bringing us all these things. It's just interesting and fun. And then my mind's opened up and, you know, you're telling me things. I've had friends tell me things. So I'm open to the walking Sam. And I'm glad that it's mainly attempts and not a lot of follow through here.
It seems like you're
here.
Both saying you believe in it.
I absolutely believe in this I one. Believe. But let's get a little... Let's
go a little let's, before. Where
let's
did this
go a little
come
further.
From?
Yeah, okay. What is this?
What does that... The Spectre archetype, that Walking Sam is based on has roots starting with the good old fashioned boogeyman and working all the way down to the Slender Man.
Oh, there you go.
Told me to do it, folklore of 2008. Yep. So the Slender Man told me to do it was the folklore of 2008. Did you guys try and watch that movie, by the way?
No, I didn't with the actual movie. I didn't.
Not the movie. I think there was like a doc.
I saw that.
I'm sure the doc was probably way better than the movie.
Yeah, the doc was pretty good.
I'll go watch the doc. I haven't seen that. But I tried to watch the movie. I couldn't. It was just really bad. The idea of shadow people is also a pretty old school urban legend going back further than history can care to track. However, the character of Walking Sam himself has existed among the Lakota and Dakota Native American tribes for some time now, with a record of him. Did I say that wrong?
No.
It sounded like you were the chick Gianni on the Food Network saying ricotta cheese.
Ricotta.
Like, all right, Gianni, thanks for showing me half a mile of cleavage and your fucking crazy predator smile. Say ricotta however you'd like.
It's funny because he said Lakota and then Dakota is only one letter off, and he's Dakota. Like, in Dakota.
He got all defeated. But he's like, God damn it.
Lakota and Dakota.
Dustin reading these is part of the fucking joy of this all.
For some reason, it's hard for me to fucking like read these off the screen.
Try that again. Start with Lakota, Dad. Lakota.
Lakota and Dakota. Okay, whatever. They get the sometimes known as the stovepipe hat Bigfoot or the Takuhi. The character's been spotted down by South Dakota. or South Dakota Sioux and Little Eagle tribes as far back as 1974. All right.
Dude, I love that they call it the Top Hat Bigfoot. What are the, where's that?
Stovepipe Hat Bigfoot. What does that mean?
So they're saying that the character probably is wearing a big ass hat, just like Slenderman. Oh, Slenderman has the tall hat and the suit. So yeah, man, it's all the same stuff, right?
Well, it's I love how Bigfoot somehow finds his way into this conspiracy theory.
Yeah, they had to slide one in for the Bigfoot people, huh? That way they could tag the word Bigfoot in the Bigfoot finders. Oh, yeah. Whoops, dude.
Just showing up all the searches. Oh, wow.
There it is. Luke's as fast as he can, pulling up photos of the...
Oh, look at that.
Oh, there's
stylish.
Okay, this isn't bad. On Etsy.com, we have a Squatchy Squatch Bigfoot stove pipe hat unisex t-shirt.
All right, this is great
pod. Yeah, that's good pod. You can go ahead and see the t-shirt. We'll leave a link below.
All right. Well, I guess I just...
we believe you, right?
You know, Micah, I think believe so.
Yeah,
so you're
I'm not going to buy the merch, but I buy the story.
Yeah.
But you believe in that if you go into South Dakota, you might see a walking salmon. He'll try to convince you to kill yourself, but he's not very convincing.
We'll believe that.
Okay.
And it's pronounced Dakota.
Dakota.
So, just for next time.
Have you ever been to South Dakota?
You're going to want to go to South Dakota on the next flight.
That might be the only state I haven't been to.
Really?
I'm trying to think about it. I don't know if I've ever been there. But
you probably have.
Maybe.
You've probably toured enough that you're like, oh, I have. But you're going to want to go there now because who is going to enter the building at this very moment are two people that we warned you about. We told you about them. They're very stoned. If you thought Duddy and I were annoying, these guys are like at least a little more annoying than us at the very least. Possibly more, and they're going to come in, they're going to interview and probably ask you a bunch of stoner questions. Are you prepared for them?
I might need to get on their level, but yeah, let's do it.
Okay, well, get on their level quick because they're coming in right now. They are the stoners. Duddy and I are going to leave before they come in, so here, let's get out of here, Duddy, quick, and hold your nose and don't breathe on the way out. Oh, are you ready, bro?
I'm ready.
Dude, fire it up, bro. Yes. Dude, talk it. Sick. We're back, dude. It has been a hot minute, dude. Feels good to be back. You guys missed us, I'm sure. It's your favorite people. It's myself, Snake OG, straight out of SKND. You know who I am. And here's my partner. Who are you?
Blonde Marley.
That's right. Blonde Marley, dude. Sick hat for the listeners. He's got I live in Canada and I'm chopping wood. And I ride a horse style hat. Is that a good description? What would you call the hat you're wearing?
It's kind of like a duck.
It is hunting. That is exactly
hat.
That's what I should have said.
In Russia,
it's a very much a Russian, a Soviet duck hunter hat is what he's wearing. Anywho, we're happy to be back.
I got it.
Where'd you get it?
At a gas station in Escondido.
You did get it.
Yeah. Because my head was cold.
Oh, I got it just outside of Syria. He was going to go with some sort of Eastern Bloc. But all right, just out Escondido. We got someone pretty special on the show today. And it's been a while, so I know you've probably got some questions fired up. Why don't you just let everybody know who we're chatting with today? They already know, don't they?
Well... if they don't, we have Michael Brown here.
There it is, dude. We're halfway through the show.
Big fan, senior band.
What's up, Micah?
Singing multiple times at Cali Roots.
I'm instantly higher sitting next to you guys, and I haven't even smoked.
That's what my mom and dad say when we hang out with them.
So, first thing that came to my head when they're like, Micah Brown is coming to town. I was like, oh, sick, because I remember I was at Cali Roots watching you guys play, and I was like, who's that guy? And they're like, that's Micah Brown. And I was like, oh, shit. So I wanted to ask you this question then, but I get to ask it now. Has anyone ever called you Brown Micah?
No, I just can't remember that ever happening.
That question took me by storm. Whoa, good, sick question. Dude, and good answer, but... really good, because I was like, he's going to hit him with a warm-up hitter right to the jugular. Get him with another one.
One of those questions, like, the answer doesn't even matter.
Because it really...
the question is really the star of the show.
I I know all about the questions. Okay. Yeah. Well, you that's like, that sounded like one of those chef shows when they're like, you know, but it's a good meal and the broccoli is perfect, but the steak is the star of the show. Oh, and it's a little overseasoned, you know. Right. But anyway, hit him with it. Pepper him with another question. I'm in the cooking theme. Sure.
All right. Sick. So speaking of Cali roots, I was there.
Oh, he's warming you up, dude.
You were on stage. After I thought about if anyone had called you Brown Micah before, I was
first
like,
thing well, that rattled sick. In his head.
Okay, so Brown Micah's on stage, and I was like, okay, well, he's obviously in a reggae band,
and he is white for the listeners. This, yeah, because. That was it. It was Brown Micah. We're like, who is this person of color? And then it was a nice white gentleman. But continue your story.
When you filled out...
I just want to say some hot button things.
When you fill out applications and it makes you write your last name first, do you have to put Brown Micah?
I do.
Oh,
that question, dude.
I knew it.
Yep.
Good question.
I should have seen that one coming.
You really should have. Nobody ever does. That's the beauty.
Coming. Oh, well, you'll never see this one coming either.
I'll try my best to be a roadblock for this one as well and throw in bullshit. So go ahead. Pepper him with another one. He's got one chambered, Micah. Wait, Brown. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're on stage, Cali Roots, right? Sick.
And dude, I'm set the scene, bro.
I'm like thinking about you filling out applications.
Painting a picture.
Oh, sick. Well, have you ever had to get a drug test?
Yeah.
Did you pass it or fail it?
I passed.
Did you pass it?
Congratulations.
Oh, sick. Okay.
Flying colors, by the way.
Oh, braggadoche.
Were you not doing drugs or did you have to take something to pass it?
I just wasn't doing drugs, I think.
Because what Blonde would do, and it always worked to your credit. Mm-hmm. He would be like, oh, I've got this job interview coming. And he would go to like the Nutrisport and buy some bottle that was like purple and you would drink it and then you would get the job.
Oh, that's how I've gotten every job.
He would take bong rips on the way into the thing and then he would pee with the purple drink. You remember?
The purple drink, you drink it, but make sure you give yourself at least an hour before you go there because you will have ferocious diarrhea.
Ferocious diarrhea, but you would always get the job. So, you know, I guess the safest way, don't smoke any hay or puff tough all the way up until the interview. Drink the purple drink from your local nutrition store.
Yes. And I do warn you, I did have one about a half hour ago.
Just don't go to the job interview until you've dropped trow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. You don't want to show right up for work and have to leave.
Like I said, it is very ferocious.
It's a ferocious dine arena.
Unfortunately, the drinks are delicious, so I have one every day.
He really starts his day with them.
All right, but for the serious question.
That took a turn. Anyway, you got another hitter
You're
for
on
him?
Stage, Cali Roots, Brown Micah. Okay. You've traveled with a reggae band. Which okay. is super sick.
He's on a destination. I see and where he's going.
I'm just wondering, on your times of travels.
It's get ready, Micah.
Have you ever gotten free weed?
Oh, he fucking hit you with it, dude. Don't lie.
So much free weed.
Oh, I knew it, dude. And the way you said it, because most people would be like, yes, but he's like, so much. Almost like, I don't need all this weed. There's no room on the bus is the amount of weed that I feel like you've been given.
I have trash bags of old weed.
Get out of here.
What?
Just wow. Can't even smoke at all.
Do you know where Escondido is?
I'll bring it down.
No way. Like Santa. He's just on the roof with a trash bag of weed.
And I do go by Young live. Santa in some circles.
Young Santa. You do look like Young Santa. That's the greatest nickname ever.
If you were a rapper, that was...
That's my, yeah. Y-U-N-G, though. You know, you got to drop the O. It's no. Young Santa.
Young Santa.
Yeah, and your flows are like gifts.
Oh, totally.
Oh, my God. He's just dropping gifts.
I'm just dropping gifts as I fly around in my sleigh.
Oh, my God.
I'm just
slaying
it.
Another gift is dropping and in springtime. Yeah, whatever.
Hell yeah.
The new gift drop, right? Okay, you got it. But dude, I had a thought. Trash bag.
Yeah.
Filled with trash. If a trash bag is filled with weed, should we be calling that a trash bag, dude? Oh, that's disrespectful. So
Stash bag.
Stash sack bag, dude. Sack. Thank you for immediately making that better. All right. Any other questions? Micah, dude, how do you like us?
I fucking love you guys.
You do? Oh, yeah. Sick, dude. Because I'm feeling it vibe. And right. I think we're digging each other pretty good all here, right, all the three of us.
Yes.
All right. Brown Micah. Have you ever had space weed?
Space weed. Tell me more. What is that?
If I was to ask, I probably haven't. Yeah. Straight to the point. He didn't even tell you the answer. He just said, tell me more about this space weed.
We live in Escondido.
Okay. Truth.
Where Snake had
my first burrito.
All right. We live in the back house.
We rent a back house.
Bedroom. It's a studio. It's a studio. We live with four dogs in the back house.
It's a shed.
In the front house, there is two gay, naked gentlemen who live there.
We live with...
And they are from outer space.
They're Galians.
They are Galians.
they just never put clothes on.
They don't. And they love us and we love them. And that's why this works out. Because everywhere else, a little history of our show. When we first started doing this, we lived in like Seal. We had to move to Pacoima. We get kicked out of every place we go. We have four dogs.
Yeah.
Studio. We do nothing but smoke weed, and you've met us now, right?
Yeah.
You get it, I think. The neighbors would complain. So we've lived with the Galians now for what, 5 months?
Yeah,
6 months? They are the only people that allow us to exist, but get to the space weed.
Long story short, they smoke space weed out of square bongs.
Whoa.
That's what we were looking for in the reaction. Some people try to act like, oh, no big deal. That's how
so
we
were. Have to make your mouth into like a square shape? To like riff the bong.
Dude, I've never really thought about it.
Smash my face.
Yeah, we just kind of dash our face. We put our mouth around the bong and just we just breathe in kind of from a deep down.
Their mouths open very far.
They have like square mouths maybe, or
it opens in and then another mouth comes out, which is square and attaches to it.
Yes, we haven't revealed that
it's
yet.
It's actually their tongue, but it's like the tongue opens up and like they inhale through their tongue.
It's terrifying, to be
honest. It really is, but again, they're the only people that will have us, and we do love them. So. All right.
And they have space weed. So.
They have space weed by the bundle. I don't know where they get it because they're here now, but we don't ask too many questions as long as they don't kick us off the property.
Yeah. So I could see Daddy, he's flipping me off, and he's telling me something as I think I'm wording it, says, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
That's what he's saying, I think.
He's doing the neck where like you put your hand in like a chop, a karate chop formation, and you dash it across your neck, kind of like a stop immediately the show now.
It seems like that's what he's trying
to say. It's time to stop now. Okay, so it's time for us to say, dude, there's a song coming up, is there not?
There's a song.
Micah Brown performed a song for you guys. He's going to perform. What song are we going to hear?
We're going to hear a song called Home Tonight that I wrote with Iration, the band that I'm in, and it's on our latest album, Coastin'. And it's the first song that I have like the full lead vocal because I'm not the front man in Iration. So Micah Pushel sings most of our songs, but... So it's kind of cool to take one and just like give him a break. I'll sing this one, buddy. I got you.
Hell yeah.
This is Home Tonight.
Sick. Well, we are honored. We will be immediately kicked off the property, but we'll do our best. We'll push our ears against the wall and try to hear from outside. But it's been great to talk to you. This is Snake OG saying Puff Tough. And here's my partner, Blonde, saying
stay crispy.
Later boys.
Later.
All right, we're here with my good friend Micah Brown, and he'll be performing Home Tonight off Iration's new album, Coastin'. Enjoy.
Now I used to waking up alone, darkness all around me. Not used to picking up the phone when I wanna hear your voice. Not used to being by myself with people all around me. But I got used to being in my zone. Learn how to block out the noise. Now that day we got circled on the calendar, it's finally come around. And I just can't wait till I get back to you. I'll see you when I touch down. Can't wait till I get home tonight. It's been so long since I can hold you tight. It's just you and I making up for lost time. Long overdue overnight. And now I'm ready to go overtime. It's just you and I making up for lost time. It's just you. It's just you and I. It's just you and I making up for lost time. In my mind, girl, it's you and I, girl, in our own little world, on our own little planet. Whatever you want, you can have it. Gotta reach out and grab it. Yeah, that's how it's gonna be. When it's just you and me, close my eyes, that's all I see. Can't wait till I get home tonight. It's been so long since I can hold you tight. It's just you and I making up for lost time. Long overdue overnight. And now I'm ready to go overtime. It's just you and I making up for lost time. It's just you and I. It's just you.
Awesome. Thank you, Micah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got to say.
You're still recovering from the stoners, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah.
Deep breath, yeah.
We all are.
You did great with them, actually.
They're good guys. I mean, they're harmless.
We know that now. We're like, dude, they're harmless. Duddy.
I don't want to say I'm coming around, because last time I started saying I was coming around, he heard, and then he was like trying to give me hugs, and I was like, eh.
We don't want them to touch us ever. So, but they're fine.
Oh, man. But I got to say, hearing live music again makes me feel good, Jake.
Absolutely.
It really does. And speaking of feeling good, on this podcast, we have some sponsors that make us feel great. And first and foremost, Koi CBD. We love this. We love this company. We love this product. You've heard it before. I use it every single day. In the morning, I get my little dropper. I take my 2,500 milligram and I just bleep, bleep, bleep. Go to town on it every morning. I love the way it makes me feel. It really does. You've heard me say it before. I get these aches and cramps in my hands and in my fingers all the time. And especially when it's cold and in this bunker, it gets freezing. Micah found out the hard way.
I'm wearing a dirty head sweatshirt right now.
I usually warn everybody that's coming to do the show. I'm like, hey, it gets pretty cold in there for some reason. And I forgot to warn Micah, and he came in a t-shirt and was like, so I had to give him a dirty head sweater.
Now I'm in all gray.
How sad we have to warn our guests.
I know.
It is Arctic in here. So please bring winter clothing.
It does get
cold.
And
we didn't tell poor Micah.
But when it gets cold, you know, I'm playing a lot of guitar and whatnot, and my wrist and my fingers, they get super sore and achy. And I've noticed, though, since I've been on a steady diet of CBD, that it really has gotten a lot better, but it still does sometimes bother me. And when it does, even after taking the droppers in the morning, if it bothers me later at night, they have these awesome rubs. And right now they've got this really cool new product. It's like a roll-on icy hot almost, that's just packed with CBD.
That's what I'm using.
Oh my God, it smells great. It feels great. And it's one of those things where, like, you put it on and you don't think about it, and 20 minutes later you're like, oh shit, yeah, my hands feel much better. And it's much healthier for you than, like, you know, over-the-counter pain meds, Tylenols, and things like that. So if you're someone out there that's got aches and pains, give CBD a try. Give Koi CBD a try. It is the best. And if you put in code FEELGOOD at checkout, you will get 15% off your first order over at KoiCBD.com. And yeah, if you're watching this on YouTube or wherever you're listening, you can just click the link below and that will take you there as well. So yeah, Koi CBD, give it a try. And also,
and they've supported us since, like, the absolute beginning. So we're so thankful for them. And we're going on like 2 years and they're hanging with us.
And they don't forget about the furry friends either. They got, like, the dog stuff too, I'm pretty sure.
They do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
they do. I give it to my dogs.
Actually, Duddy's always pop. Yeah, they have stuff for your animals.
Yeah, Lenny's all that.
Yeah, so very cool. And also another awesome sponsor we have is the Jack Rack from Plugins Keychains. This thing is super cool. Where is it? I have one right behind me, actually. It's just like a replica of a guitar amp head. They have Marshall ones, they have Fender ones, and you just mount it to the, you know, wall in your house, wherever you want. And it comes with four keychains that resemble a
quarter inch
cable. The head of a quarter inch is what you plug into your amp, and you plug the other end into your guitar, but you put your keys on it. It's a keychain. And when you get home, you just plug into the wall, you know, right where your keys are. And when, you got to go somewhere, you just unplug and you're on your way. It's super cool. I've had one on the wall in my house for years, actually, before they were our sponsor. And I honestly can't tell you how many times someone's come over to my house and been like, holy crap, that's awesome. Where'd you get that? And you know what I tell them, Jake?
What do you tell them?
I say they can go to pluginskeychains.com, and that is plural and with a Z.
Little improv work there.
Yeah, it is PLUGINZ keychains, plural, .com. Get yourself a Jack Rack, put in code DUDDYB at checkout, and you will get 20% off of every single order forever. You heard it here, people.
Boom.
Bam.
Yeah.
What a passionate sponsor, Reed.
Well,
you really get. Yeah, he doesn't phone it in. He's not reading, like, you know. He's telling you. So we almost forgot everyone's least favorite thing.
Oh, am I gonna destroy it?
It's show me your riff time. Yeah, Luke looked at me. He pointed at the guitar that we had over there that we were supposed to do 3 hours ago. You guys know, anyone who can play, we go, show us your riff, and we hand them a guitar. They play their riff. Duddy and I have riffs. We'll see. Anyways, show us your riff. Everybody's least, and I'll actually point this at the guitar this time, since last time I didn't. Riff upgrade, bro. Check it out, Duddy. Tasty.
Wow,
yeah.
Jake.
I've been practicing. All right,
okay.
I was made fun of online. People were like, you need to do a better riff, bro. That's lazy. So I actually worked on that. Here you go. Oh, no pick.
Okay, new riff.
Duddy.
That's like a jingle. That's not even just a riff.
I know. Yeah, that's technically, he went for the extra credit at the end. Okay, he thought it was done, and he's like, you like
I
that?
I was like, it needs to resolve.
That was, I don't know. That was pretty.
I dug it.
Thank you.
I
dug
it. I'll just play what I kind of do when I pick up a guitar.
Try it with my eyes closed. I just do this.
That's in your face right there.
It's cheating because I'm using a lot of open notes.
Dude, no, it's not cheating. No, to be fair, Duddy said last week, we were talking about you, that you were coming on the show, and you said something like, Micah Brown's the type of guitar player where he plays a riff and then hands you the guitar. Here, you play something, and you're like, no, I'm good. Just fucking, that's what Duddy said. And he proved that right there today. All right, that was the best ever segment of that, unless you like people completely fucking up their riffs.
Oh, dude,
like,
you guys killed it.
Thank you. Rome, last episode we had before we were out for a couple of weeks, me and Rome both just chunked our way through. It was
pretty
awesome.
But to their credit, they were like,
leave it in.
That's what it is. That's
the riff. Love it. And you know what else I love?
Well, we've all messed up on stage.
Oh, yo, come on. 1,000 times.
Oh, but yeah, what else I love is when people tell us about when they pooped their pants.
It's one of all of our listeners' favorites.
And you know what? This is even, I don't think that anyone's told us this, and this is a pee your pants.
We'll take it.
Very, very excited about. I said, Micah, do you have like a funny story about like pooping your pants? He's like, not really. And he goes, I have one about peeing. And I was like, oh man, almost even better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a first time for everything, right?
And you know what you're doing? You're opening. This is the glass ceiling's been shattered, everybody. Mm-hmm. Now you've paved it. So if anyone's got a pee your pants story now, they can be involved. So
they can thank me.
Yes, they can.
No, well, I was thinking too, like I pooped my pants once when I was a little kid and it's not that funny of a story. I mean, I pooped in a lake and then I tried to pretend I didn't and I like washed it out and then I moved on with my day.
You okay. Know? Sensible.
Yeah.
But it's a short story. It's a very short story. But, well, when I was a kid, like you guys both, I played a lot of Little League Baseball over the years and that led to like tournament baseball, you know, those club teams, kind of like club soccer, but your travel baseball team, you go to out of state, you go to Vegas. So, we were at a tournament. I don't remember. I think it was in Santa Barbara maybe. And I'm like 11, maybe 10 years old. And, I'm like on deck, like starting off the next inning, you know, but it's like not even that inning yet. It's like the inning before. And I just like really have to pee and I'm playing third base. So I can't just leave the field and go pee, you know, and the bathrooms from this field were like so far. Oh. And so I'm like already worried about it. We're playing like, this a long inning. We finally get the third out. I'm like running in and I realize as I'm jogging, even just to the dugout, I'm like, this is so hard to hold in,
you know? No. And you're up and next.
So I'm on deck. So I'm like, I'm taking my practice swings. I'm just like, you're doing that awkward dance where you're just trying to hold it in.
How old did you say you were? Sorry.
Like 10 or 11.
Oh yeah. Man. So this is,
it's the perfect age to not want to piss your pants.
Not an age you want to be.
That's the age right where you're starting to figure out like, okay, I don't want to embarrass myself.
I'd rather be 16 and piss my pants than 10.
Yeah.
10 year olds are fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm first guy, he's up to bat. I think he hits like a single or something. So I'm up. I'm like, fuck. I kind of want to just strike out so that I don't have to run. So, but I get in the batter's box and I'm just like, holy shit, this is insane. I'm about to piss myself.
I'm so nervous. And
so he throws a pitch. I like hit a line drive up the middle or kind of like down the gap a little bit because it gets past the fielder and I'm running first and I'm like, I'm going for a double and I just let go and I'm just, I just start peeing
and you're running
and I'm running the bases in a game. And it's like, it's like a travel tournament where like, there's a lot of families and fans and stuff there. So I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck do I do? So I dive head first into the
let
dirt.
Let the sand soak it up.
So the sand just covers me and like, and I kind of brush it off, but I'm like not brushing off right here. Cause I don't want it to like rub in and get all wet, you know? And I get a double, everyone's cheering and like, but I'm fully wet, like all the way down the front. My socks are soaked. Oh, you know, your baseball socks, you know how tight baseball socks are on
here. They go up to your knees.
Yeah, and that's the age where my pants were rolled up to your like above your shins, you know? So my socks are soaked. There's dirt all over me. It's like red dirt. It was this baseball field. The dirt was so red in Santa Barbara. And so I end up scoring and then like, but I can't like change, you know, there's nothing I can do.
Uniforms.
I play like two more innings like that. I'm just trying to, I'm in the like end of the dugout, like trying not to
turning
like,
your body. Yeah. Pee, Micah.
We had like, and I was like, God, I gotta get out of here. The coach calls like a post game, like little meeting under the tree after the game. We sat there. I'm like sitting there, like just thinking to myself, someone's got to smell it by now.
Yeah, you're just like, did anyone else think this dirt smells like pee?
Yeah. We get in the car to leave and my mom and dad are like, it smells like pee in here. I never told him. I don't know if anybody know, but like, I feel
you
like
escaped
I might have got away with it. I wrote a short story about it in college. So whoever, my classmates that read that story know about it, but.
Traumatizing moment or a harsh moment. I'm glad nobody called you out on it. You got away. Let me ask you this. What color's the uniform? This plays in, if it's the gray style pants, it's so hard.
It was white pants.
That's a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the gray, yeah, you would have been so dark.
It's just hard to hide it there. Yeah.
White pants and like dark blue socks or something like that. So,
oh, you're lucky.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just let the dirt kind of hang out for the rest of the game and just like, but it was nothing like having like soaked socks tight on your skin for like an hour. You're playing sports. It's the worst.
Yeah. That's not good.
I'm sure a couple of my teammates had to know. Yeah.
Oh,
thankfully, like, nobody ever called me out on it. Like, there was no embarrassing moment where, like, I was a complete and total shame, you know?
I love this, though. You're all, I wrote a paper about it in college, and now I'm here to share it with you guys today.
I just, that popped into my brain that I did that, like, as I was saying the same thing.
Did you guys win the game?
I think we did. Nice. Yeah, because we had that little post-game meeting, and I remember it was, like, everybody was pumped, but I was just like, you know, so we had to win.
So you hit a double, and then the next guy had to hit a single or something to get you home, in. Yeah. So you had to sit in it out there. Probably the safest place you could be, maybe out at second.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, for a bit.
Yeah.
I'd love to just. I picture as you're running in between first and second, you're almost there, and there's pee just like flying out the sides of your cup.
Oh, man.
What?
No, because it just slowly drops. So I think it, luckily the baseball pants are pretty like thick and absorbent. Yeah. So it kind of soaked right into my pants and socks.
Like,
and,
like, hot day.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it was awesome. Somehow I got away with it, but it was brutal.
That's good. Well, as Micah was telling us earlier that, oh, he's like, I don't have a, you know, poop my pants story, but I do have a pee. And Jake says that he also has a pee.
I have a recent pee story. And so a lot of people who listen to the show, I think we've talked about it on this podcast before, how I have like a pee jug in my van, you know, and it's like made to be peed in for like people that are on the road that got to pee. It's, you know, it's all ergonomic. It's got a handle, the whole deal, right? The reason I have that in the van is because I was always the guy, at least recently, that I have to pee. My wife and I, if like, you know, we go to the mall, whatever. As soon as we get there, I'm like, I got to pee, dude. Let's go find a bathroom. I'm constantly having to pee. It's just because I drink all day, I guess, coffee, water, whatever. But finally, one day I'm driving home and I have to pee. I realized this 15 minutes from my house. I'm like, I'll hold it. Right. But then it's taking longer for me to get home than I anticipate. And it's starting to become evident to me that it's just not going to happen. I've undone the seatbelt. I've undone my pants, any piece of pressure that can be undone, I've done. Yeah. And I'm like 2 to 3 blocks from like getting to my apartment complex, but then I got to drive through it. There's speed bumps. I have to park. I'm 3 flights up. I'm not going to make this. I start to realize in the middle of the road, I'm actually hovering my body off the seat at this point, because it's just, I can't have any pressure. I'm float driving with no seatbelt. So I see like a fucking, dude, it's like a Trader Joe's parking lot in Newport Beach that has an industrial feel to it. I pull in at 1,000 miles an hour. I don't even have time to park properly. I pull in sideways, like in the back of this Trader Joe's, and there's like an industrial building next to it with workers outside.
I know right what you're talking about.
I'm like, Jesus. And there's a fence. Pull in sideways. I throw the side of my car door open. I like throw it into park. The car's all like does one of those shitty stops. And as I'm getting out, I just piss all over my pants. And then I just get out and I kind of try to finish as much as I can outside my pants. And I did a shame drive home.
And you pissed your pants.
This is like 2 years ago. I'm a fucking full blown grown adult. And I pissed myself driving home. And since then I've had the piss bucket in my car. Never even a close to an accident since. I simply pull over, pee, and life's grand. We'll have the link to the piss bucket below, guys. So yeah, thank you for doing this for me.
Isn't it weird how like when you're almost able to pee, like you let go of all ability to hold it.
It instantly gets twice as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's same with shit. We've had people on the show that are like, I'm seeing where I need to be to shit. I'm 30 seconds of jogging away and it's just your body says nope. And they poop themselves like right outside the porta potty. We've had a couple people say that. Yeah. Oh. When you have to go, as soon as your body thinks it's time, it's just time.
No.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Physics be damned. All right.
All right. Are we getting into Q&A?
We are getting into Q&A. All right. It's everyone's worst, least favorite thing. All right. Hit that. No, this comes from our Patreon members. We love them, of course. And they have a lot of questions for you, I believe. Awesome. We did a Micah Brown, ask him some questions. So play the drop, Luke.
Questions. Woo-hoo-hoo. Ask us any question you want.
let's get into it. Oh, we didn't even talk about the cool picture. We had a funny picture of Micah Brown as a youngster playing baseball.
We'll put it up.
Yeah, and we'll circle which one's it. Him. Yeah.
You can just imagine that pudgy little kid pissing himself.
Yeah. Yes. We'll circle which one's him. Yeah. And then we'll point to where the pee was coming out of. All right. As Jake was saying before, these questions come from our Patreon members. And if you want a chance to ask us some questions, you get 4 bonus episodes every month and guitar tutorials from Dirty Head Songs from me. You can go on over to patreon.com/feelinggoodwithdaddy and you can sign up there. It's $5 a month and they get all that cool stuff and it really helps the show keep going. So here we go. This one comes first from Jen Peterson. And she says, do you really know what you're getting into, Micah?
Well, we asked him that, actually.
To be fair, I did. I knew. I listened to the show, so. Nice. And I love you guys. So.
Yeah. And you could tell. You fit right in.
Oh, yeah. And Creepy Kimmy, and she really is creepy. She wants to know, what is your least favorite part of every day besides this question?
Oh, Kimmy.
we're getting real honest here, but it's like, every time I have to go back and take my second dump, it's like, I've already taken a dump. I don't want to have to just do this all again, you know,
yeah, like with the wipes
and everything.
Oh, like, man.
I sometimes sit and wait just to try to get 2-in-1 out, you know, like save the trouble of the whole deal.
Damn, ended up being a really good question, Jimmy. Yeah. Okay.
You're right, though. The morning dump is such an awesome way to get the day going. Then the second one, you're like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Are we really going to?
We're going back here already? Yeah.
What year is it? Are we doing this still?
All right, this comes from Jesse, and it looks like she's trying to squeeze 3 questions into one.
Sneaky.
Which she knows is against the rules. But
her name is literally Rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she does.
Yeah, she does, yeah.
Is there anything you miss about life in Hawaii?
Well, I feel like she might think I grew up in Hawaii like everybody else in Hawaii, which I didn't. But I did live there.
Yes.
And I lived there. I moved there in 2003 after I graduated high school. My brother lived there. He was in the Navy at the time. So what do I miss about that? I do miss like just the weather, like not always, but certain nights, like the magic of like the weather, like the nature out there, you know, like the moonlight and like the waves and shit. Like it sounds super cliche, but
no, it's
Bellows Beach on Oahu. There's a night that sticks out in my mind of like, just like this atmosphere that I want to recreate, you know, sometimes and I miss that and you can't anywhere else really. But so yeah, I lived there about a year. That's probably, I mean, just the vibe, I think.
That's cool.
Go ahead. I'm jumping ahead.
That's cool. She wants to know also what's your favorite song to play live.
It changes, obviously. I'm sure you know.
Yeah, I say that every time.
But as far as I think this lot, we did these drive-in shows, and I think off the new album Coastin', the song Smile is pretty fun to play. It's kind of like almost kind of like a Petty vibe, like the way it's like not straight reggae, it's more of a rock kind of song.
A little different style, so it's fun.
Yeah, and so that's like right up my alley as far as like my natural groove, you know. And so that one was really fun to play on those shows. But I would say from the last tour, like probably Energy, which is a song that we do a long kind of horn thing, and there's like, it's a very big crowd participation song.
Yeah.
So it's always fun when you can kind of do a really long version of a song and include the crowd and kind of get the climax of the show kind of vibe. Yep. So that's the song that we've usually build that around. So
nice. Duddy's Little Carpet Munchers want to know, did you guys ever watch MXC, The Most Extreme Elimination?
Oh my God. That shit was hilarious.
I totally did. Yeah.
Guy Ledouche here.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was classic.
Some of the funniest things ever. And then, yeah, like the jobs they'd give to all the people. For anyone that doesn't know, right? It was like a Japanese, like, you know, like show Wipeout where people fall and get hurt. It was like a Japanese version of that. That when Duddy and I were kids, I'm just, for anyone listening that might not know, when Duddy and I were kids and Micah,
I think it was, I don't know if we were kids. We were maybe like in our 20s.
We were like in our early, it was early probably 20 years maybe. Ago. It was on TV and they would dub over this old Japanese 80s game with English words and just make it hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah.
It's the
recipe for success because those Japanese game shows are insane.
They're crazy. My God.
And then, if you get some couple comedians.
They would put themselves in danger.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Let's see here. Jake Lapointe says, Micah, do you see yourself playing acoustic tours later in life when touring life with the band slows down? Love your solo stuff.
Definitely. I think, you know, I think as long as I can do that, and it may not be as heavy, I think it'll be more, I think as you get older, it's kind of like less is more, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
And so, but I definitely, I would love to continue the acoustic music for as long as, you know, I enjoy it. And as long as it's going well, and as long as people want to hear the songs, like if there's a crowd and a need for it, then I'm definitely down, you know?
Totally.
And it's fun. And it's different too. Like if you're in a band, I used to be the opposite. When I first started out as an acoustic artist, like I was like, I missed the camaraderie of a band, you know? Now I've been in a band for 8 years now with Iration, which is crazy, but it's like, ooh, I miss like just playing solo acoustic, where it's like I can just be myself and improvise and like not follow along with any structure. You know, that's the fun part of acoustic, is like you can kind of just improvise a little bit more and go with the flow.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's funny. Brad Penry asks, and Brad's actually who was just here a second ago. Brad says, will you be playing any Rome and Duddy shows when they come back? And does Duddy and Dean owe us a round at Newport still?
Yeah. Oh, this is some inside. He's asking personal questions of Duddy. They're talking about golf.
Yeah. So that our old Friday morning foursome,
that's
you,
right.
Dean, Brad, and myself. I think the last time we played, I guess Brad and I got you guys.
I think you got us. So we owe you the next round.
And then as far as the Rome and Duddy tour, I mean, if and when it ever happens, I hope I get to team back up with you guys.
Oh, for sure. We've got to do that run again. I mean, we never got to finish it.
Yeah.
So absolutely. 100%.
Definitely. I'm in.
Yeah. Herbie Humbucker, which is just the best name, which we love, says, Duddy, Micah, what's your biggest holy shit I made it moment? You know, I don't know if it's the biggest, but, you know, the first one, I think we talked about it a little earlier, and that was, you know, I think that, like, weenie roast on that spin turnaround stage, being on the same, you know, flyer with all those bands and playing at that venue, because that's my local venue. I grew up seeing all the biggest shows I've ever seen. So being on that stage for like the K-Rock Weenie Roast with all those other bands, that was like a holy shit, this is crazy.
Definitely. Yeah, that same here. I mean, anytime you're playing those kind of big size crowds for the first time, it's like you never forget that feeling.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, when you headline a big venue, like obviously like Red Rocks or, you know, the Greek Theater in Berkeley or something like that, where it's like you're the headlining act and it's like a sold out show. Like that's a big
that sold out Red Rocks feeling is pretty, that's wild. Like when you walk out on that stage and you look up and you're just like, God damn, how did we get here?
Insanity.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
This is a funny question. This is a funny
this
question.
This is great. Kristen Moore says, question for Jake. Are the Dirty Heads the luckiest band ever because of TikTok? Yeah, we are.
Great question of the day. And no, the luckiest band ever is Queen. Obviously they had Wayne's World. A whole new generation of kids are doing, you know, the Queen thing. And then now Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah, the luckiest band ever remains forever Queen.
I don't agree with him.
People
on this
just
one.
Try to get me off it. No, it's not the Dirty Heads earned everything they have like long before this.
Way more than Queen.
Yeah, no, please, Queen. They got lucky with the Wayne's World thing and then the Bohemian Rhapsody
the whole
movie.
Wayne's World.
Yeah. Yeah. Just very lucky for
them.
I mean,
Jake, we did have Surf's Up. I mean,
you did, yeah, but. You know, those other movies were much bigger, I think, that that's why they're still, you guys are up there because of the TikTok thing, but no, it's just.
Honestly, I will say, yeah, we're super lucky because of that TikTok. That.
But the luckiest?
No, not the luckiest.
Yeah, Queen.
But yeah, man, because as you probably all know, or if you didn't know, I'll fill you in, I had zero to do with that and have put in zero effort behind that TikTok thing. So yeah, I'll say it's lucky and I'm stoked about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome,
I mean, the guys in Queen had literally nothing to do with Wayne's World either. But yeah, so no, but good question. Last and final question.
Connor Monahan. Wait, you didn't answer my question. There's no time. Says, hey, Mr. Whiskers, what inspired you to venture out into the cannabis industry? And that's for Micah. He has a vape pen company called Mr. Whiskers.
Yeah. So a buddy of mine came to me a few years back and was just like, hey, I want to do something with you. It'd be fun. And he had a delivery service and kind of like a dispensary business. And so he was thinking like there was a need for other brands that he could carry. And so originally we were going to do like pre-rolls, and we kind of pivoted to carts first, but Mr. Whisker's idea came because obviously with the beard, but I go down to Las Gaviotas a lot in Mexico, mm-hmm. just south of Rosarito, and mm-hmm. Puerto Nuevo is like the little village where you can get the lobster, and there's always these merchants out there, you know, yep. slanging stuff. And this one dude, like multiple times on different occasions, has like yelled out to me as I'm walking by, "Hey, Mr. Whiskers." Like, and so that Perfect. Always stuck with me. And so when we were trying to think of like a name or like a vibe or a brand kind of idea, like what's the draw going to be for this? Cause there's like a thousand million cart mm-hmm. brands out yeah. there. Right. But, so Mr. Whiskers, you know, and yeah. so it's been a fun little side project, and we're trying to still lock up like a good, you know, license distribution deal. And so we're kind of just dabbling in it right now and hoping to get it up and Sweet. Like fully fledged soon, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's awesome. But yeah. I do that's love that name, insane. Mr. Whiskers. That's yeah. awesome. That's
perfect. And you do look like that. He yeah. just, I love how he just narrowed you down to that in 1 second. Yeah. Hey, Mr. Whiskers.
Yeah. Mr. Whiskers.
You're like, yes, yeah. fuck it. I'll take it. That's yeah. great. Is that it, Dan?
That's it.
Jeez.
That's it. So, I mean, yeah, before we get out of here, thanks for coming. I mean, is there anywhere that people can find you? Anything you want to like?
Anything you want to promote?
Promote
if
or
there
anything?
Is anything.
So yeah, I guess we obviously Iration. You know, we just put out Coast in last July, but since then, since we haven't toured, we launched a Patreon as well, mm-hmm. Which is a fun way to engage with like our kind of like the VIPs at the shows. You know,
totally.
Like you can't have that VIP experience on the tour. You can have it with us through Patreon. And so we do a lot of exclusive things that you guys know you're pitching yours. And so we do the Patreon. We're up on the Discord server, like chatting with fans and stuff every few days. We're all checking in. We're doing voice chats on Discord with fans. So check out our Patreon. We also did a podcast kind of around the album. We did kind of like that Song Exploder style thing where we explored every song on the new mm-hmm. album, and then we pivoted with the podcast to more of like an interview style. So nice. We'll have friends on. So we'll have to get you guys. I'll do an episode of The Uplifter with you guys next time.
Yeah.
And we'll just
totally.
Like throw it back at you.
100%.
So,
hell yeah.
But, and then we have a remix, EP coming out with some of the songs off Coast, which I don't even think that's announced yet. So that's
nice.
An exclusive drop.
Exciting.
I think it comes out sometime. Maybe the first single from that comes out in March. So yeah, keep your eyes out for the remix release of Coastin. It's like all dub versions of some of the songs. So that's kind of fun. And then yeah, hopefully, I mean, Lord willing, we'll get back on the road here and get some shows going soon. But there's a lot to check out online until then. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's been fun to just stay busy and kind of expand and pivot and grow. You know, everybody's totally. Got to do it.
So. Nobody stopped. Everyone just found a new way.
Yeah.
You got to.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. Well, shit. Thank you guys so much.
It was a great show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming in.
Good to hang with you.
We jogged a lot of memories.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about or thought about in a long time.
That was fun.
That was rad.
Right on,
hell yeah.
Love you guys. See you next week.
Peace.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.